Hello and welcome to the Winning Post Preview Podcast for the weekend of January 9. I am Joel Marshall. Joining me as usual is my Winning Post colleague Carl Diorio. And Carl, well, we had a rare week off from the podcast last week, but we're back with a vengeance this weekend. What a weekend to chime in with on Magic Millions weekend. Of course, the Gold Coast plays host to 9 huge races, and even bigger this year, $10 million race day. And some very lucky owners running around for some big prize money on offer. What do you make of the meeting, Carl?
Well, big fields, as you'd expect. Big money. I think it's the richest race day in Australia all season, yep. $10 million. Yeah, so you know, big fields. Just from my perspective, as a bit of a person who doesn't bet on Queensland racing all that often, it is a little bit off-putting having massive fields around that tight Gold Coast circuit. Racing luck will play a significant part in determining who wins each race.
It certainly will. All right, well, I'll run through my tips for the first half of the program, and you can chime in on the quaddy legs, which include obviously the two features, the three-year-old guineas and the two-year-old classic. The opening event is the maiden, and well, I've tipped the second emergency. You wouldn't imagine there'd be any scratchings unless there's a mishap, but 18 Desanam from the Robbie Lang yard is my top pick. If he gets in, 2 Wolf Cry will be very hard to beat. Showed good promise as a two-year-old and has trialled well. 16 Biddy Babe and 11 Ambitious Blonde come out of the same Doomben Maiden. I thought they both ran well. And as always, plenty of chances. Have a Say, I thought from a better draw, would be a hope. And Sagatona also, with claims, did place in this race last year. Race 2 is the Country Cup, and I made my best on a tough day. Number 2, War Jet from the Joe Cleary yard. Noel Callow up to ride. He's teamed with the stable previously. Certainly Tartar Tatiana comes to mind. And this horse, he's got a good strike rate. He's got form. He defeated Just a Blur a couple of times last prep, which is pretty decent form, especially for a race like this, which falls away pretty quickly. He's had a good hit out at Queen Bianne, winning a trial by 7.5. I think he's ready to go. Got him ahead of 13 Star Wars, 15 Three Sheets, and 12 Mistella. Race 3, well, this is certainly one of the highlights of the day. The Cutis open plate, and we've got Buffering, the champ, jumping at around $1.20, I think, in some places at the moment. 61 kilos, he's pretty well in, giving just 4 kilos away to most of the field. And a barrier 11, well, I guess that makes things a little bit interesting. 1,300 off a bit of a break also, but he should be far too good. 6 Siegfried in for second, 2 Steel Zip for third, and 4 Gundy Spirit for fourth. Race 4 is the Fillies and Mares handicap. This is a really open race. Again, I'm with an emergency. First emergency, if she gets a run, El Lou. She's been aimed at this right along, right the way through this prep. Her fresh run was good. She was unlucky. A bit disappointing second up, but happy to put a pen through that run. She did win the maiden on this day last year. 2 Peace Force will be very hard to beat with any luck from a wide gate. 9 Private Secretary in for third. 13 Queen of Kariba in for fourth. And my next pick would be Miss Covergirl, number 8. Race 5 is the Stayers Cup. Really good clash here between some good in-form horses at the top of the weights. I've gone number 1 Centre Pivot, just over 2 Tinto, little between them. They've got the same top weight, almost identical form lines leading in, and barriers 1 and 2. So a little between them, 4 Worthy Cause in for 3rd and 6 Jumbo Prince in for 4th. The first leg of the quaddie is the Magic Millions Cup. This is over 1,400 metres, and Carl, I'll bring you in here. What, obviously, Lucky Hustler, the highlight here with 60.5. How's he going to go? His favourite, and logical favourite, but I thought he'd be a bit shorter than around the 460, I think you can get, 480.
Yeah, well, I've put him in for fourth. Obviously, got to respect his class, but I just think with that big weight, first up from a spell, I know he's a good first up horse, but just that big weight puts me off, and as I alluded to, interference, you know, can pay to some horses, particularly those with weight, if they have to stop and start. I've gone with Backman on top, and beaten this campaign. He's really returned in good order since being gelded, and he's nicely weighted on the minimum. I think he can go on with it and win again from number 3 Strawberry Boy, who won this race last year. I think he was he's drawn to get the right run in barrier two. He'll just go forward and give them something to chase, and I think he's just lacking a little bit of fitness first up, but he'll derive plenty of benefit from that run. Third, number 13, Mert the Flirt, who won well first up and I thought was excellent in defeat last time. And fourth, number 1, Lucky Hustler.
Yeah, same four numbers for me. In the race with probably a few more chances than that, but on with 3, Strawberry Boy on top. As you said, probably fitter for that first up run, and he wasn't far off. Well, he did beat Lucky Hustler home once. I think they met 3 times in the spring. He beat him home once, and a couple of those runs he had wide gates at Caulfield in the Rupert Clark and the Two Rack. Lucky Hustler in for second, 13 Mert the Flirt for third, and 5 Backman for fourth. If you're looking at quaddies, certainly Balligari is one that I'd include from a decent draw, ran pretty well last start. Race 7 is the 3-year-old Guineas, and Darren Weir again here with, well, probably a drifting and easing favourite in number 1 Mahuta, having come up with an outside barrier draw, but he's got the form on the board. Do you think he's the one to beat, Carl?
I've gone against Mahuta. I just don't like that barrier, and it's always a bit tricky, I guess, with these horses coming off a spring campaign, and particularly Mahuta, because it was fairly long. It was a 6-start campaign, and it ran as recently as the Sandown Guineas, and it was quite a, you know, solidly run race, and just always got a little bit of a niggling doubt about those sort of horses that are, I guess, preheated going into a first up run. But I guess here I'm second guessing Darren Weir, and he's obviously a very good trainer. So I've gone around him. I've got number 16, Egyptian Symbol, on top, who I thought was really good at Wyong behind Flippant, and draws much better than Flippin' here. It draws barrier 6 while Flippin's drawn the car park. And I thought the run behind Madotti was also quite good after receiving early interference. So I've got it on top from Madotti, which is number 8. For third, number 7, Sir Bacchus. And for fourth, I have put in number 1, Mahuta.
Yeah, well, I've left Mahuta out. Certainly, he'd be going in my quaddie, but I left him out of my 4. I've gone for a bit of roughy here in number 12, Single Gaze. I think she's better than her form suggests. She showed promise as a 2-year-old, and wide barriers have really hampered her career. She was placed in the 2-year-old race this day last year, obviously, so there's a little bit of a query on those sort of form lines, but she ran a decent race in the slipper, and her winter campaign was really thwarted. She drew wide gates at Doomben, and it was just she really had no chance. I thought her first up run against Older Mares was okay. Again, she drew a wide gate in the Vaux Road last time. She's finally drawn a good gate. Cathy O'Hara back on board. Happy to have something on her at each way odds. But I'll be probably having a couple of win bets in this race as well. Certainly back a few horses. 16, Egyptian Symbol, in for second. I think she's the one to beat. 5, I'm Bellucci. I can certainly have something on. He's a really smart horse. He'll be flying home at the end. As will number 10, Sagarone. I think at around $21 or maybe even $26. She's a quality filly. Has a placing depressed statement, and she really didn't have much go her way in the Melbourne Spring. A couple of luckless runs, and probably came to the end of it towards her last run. But I think she's one to certainly have something on at the odds. Race 8 is the Biggie, the 2-year-old classic, and we do have a shorty here, and I love tipping against these shorties, but I just found it very hard to tip against number 1, Capitalist.
So you've got him on top?
I have got him on top. I'll run through my numbers. 1, Capitalist on top, just hard to go past. He's drawn well. He's certainly looked the best horse in the race. I have a big opinion of Slumber Party, and I certainly, if she had drawn better, I probably would have put her on top. Betting in the race, I'll probably have something small on her. Should take plenty of benefit out of that first up run. She was eyeballed the whole way. I thought she fought on really, really well. She's, as I said, she's going to need a bit of luck from out there. But 5, Nikitas, might just be looking for further. He never really travelled over the 1200 last start, but he really finished off well. The harder they go, the better he'll be. And 11, Candica, might be underrated. Her 2 wins have been really good. She's going to get a cheap run. So 1, 14, 5, 11 for me.
I've gone with 9, Highland Beat on top. It should finish much closer in the debutante stakes on debut, and then atoned for that at Mooney Valley, and then just missed out behind a pretty handy one at Randwick last time on Boxing Day, getting that clockwise experience last time. It does draw reasonably well in the centre of the line. It should settle just off them. I don't think it'll be jostling for the early lead, but hopefully it gets nice cover and just for the midfield. And under those circumstances, I think Highland Beat is going to be quite competitive at the end of the race. So I've got it on top on an each-way basis, just looking for a little bit of value to knock off the favourite, Capitalist, who deserves to be favourite, deserves to be that short, and should get all the favours. It's just a matter of whether or not it gets clear galloping room at the right time from barrier two. For third, number five, Nikas, and for fourth, number six, Nico Lance.
And race nine is the Magic Millions Sprint, and it is the smallest field of the day with 13 runners, but a pretty wide open affair. I've gone for the Victorian Visitor Wild Rain from the Cavanagh Yard. She's very consistent. She'll put herself in the right spot. 10 King's Troop, smart three-year-old. He'll be a lot fitter for that first up run. Two didn't cost a lot, very speedy, and six, the Storman. His second up record is much, much better than his fresh record, so I expect him to improve. But few other chances. It's probably a wider leg for the quaddy. Hassan Eagle certainly goes in mine.
I've gone with five Wild Brain as well. The step up to the 1100 metres shouldn't be any problem for her. She was great in the Doveton Stakes, and I've got her on top from nine Hassan Eagle, who I don't think was suited coming back down in distance last time at Randwick, and getting back up to the 1100 metres is more suitable. Even a bit further might even be more suitable for Hassan Eagle, but certainly should get every chance from barrier five. Third, number 10, King's Troop, who's got a ton of ability. And for fourth, number 11, Le Cordon Bleu.
All right, I should say there's only 12 runners, not 13, in that race. Of course, Liberation is an emergency. Best and value on the card. My best is War Jet, race 2, number 2, and my value is Single Gaze, race 7, number 12.
Oh, my best will be in the last Wild Rain. I think it's going to be awfully hard to beat. And my value will be Egyptian Symbol's a little bit short, isn't it? So I should probably make Highland Beat in the main race my value bet around about that 25-1 mark.
All right, Caulfield on Saturday plays host to a 9-race card, and complete opposite to the Gold Coast, we've got small fields. Yeah, each way betting in all but one as it stands. Of course, we don't want any scratchings, but Carl, a difficult program in terms of just trying to find some value and I suppose trying to get really interested in it. I'll stick with a horse that was good a couple of weeks ago in Jackie's Joy as my best. No reason to jump off. She overcame a slow pace to win. Even if they go slow again, she should settle closer from barrier three. She won't get right back to last, and I think she's worth sticking with. And at $6, you can back her each way. And Sandhill Flash will be my value, race 8, number 3. Difficult day to find value, but at $15, I thought each way him. Don't mind his Adelaide form lines through Messina Nymph and a clear choice. And first up run was good. And yeah, 15 each way. I think Duke of Brunswick coming back in distance. Slight query for mine, but they are the two I'll be concentrating on.
Yeah, Sandhill Flush is going to give you a side up on the pace. And I guess if there is a chink in the armour of Duke of Brunswick coming back in distance and being a little bit dour, well, it might just be found out, but I guess Duke of Brunswick, perhaps some would argue, didn't quite run out of strong 14, and it's logical to get back to the 1200 metres. So I can see both sides to the point. We'll see how they go on Saturday. My best bet is the new boy, race 7, number 4, who I thought was a decent chance last start with Darren Gauchy aboard from a wide barrier, and I thought he dictated from outside the lead quite well. He was ridden the treat and just found Volcanic Ash and Duke of Brunswick better last time over the 1400 metres at Caulfield in a stronger race. Comes back to a benchmark 78 race over the same track and distance. Again, draws wide, but there's not as much depth here. And I think the new boy around about $7.50 is a great each way bet. So got it on top as the best. And my value bet seems all the talk in the office here, Joel. It's a Him, race 9, number 2. Now, $67 was available this morning on Sportsbet. Now it's $34 and $41 around the place. But he's fitted for the two runs this campaign. Stephen Arnold gets on third up, just like he did last campaign when he wasn't beaten all that far by Digitalism. On that occasion, I'm not sure he ran out the 2,040 metres. Here he steps up to a mile third up, which is certainly more suitable. He's a WA Guineas winner over the distance, and he's only missed a place once over the mile. From barrier three, hopefully he just settles for the midfield, and under those circumstances, he's certainly worth an each-way ticket.
All right, moving on to Canterbury on Saturday. Has the rain stopped in Sydney yet? It looks like we're going to be playing on a rain-affected track, certainly in the heavy range. Today it might get better, might improve into the soft if the rain stops, but either way we're looking at some wet trackers, I would have thought. I'll back up from last week and go again on Shandana as my best, race 3, number 3. Didn't really get warm until late. Quick back up, she had a gap between runs, I think quick back up, 1550 is ideal. I think she will win, and I made Prince Harada my value. I didn't mind his first up run. He's got a bit of form on wet tracks. He's a pretty handy galloper. A few scratchings in this race, probably weaken it a little bit, and I think he'll run well. But it's a program I actually don't mind a few on. I thought Alwazita in race 8 would go all right. Pico Taquino in race 6, and I don't mind race 5. Mr. Steele and King's Officer might do something with a couple of those. So it's a program with the smallish fields and on a wet track, but I'm actually a little bit interested in it.
Glad you like it, because it's well, I'm not quite warm about it just yet. Maybe on Saturday morning I might change my mind and find all sorts of best bets, as I tend to do. But Shadow Lord I like, race 7, number 9, that's my best. It's had 3 runs this campaign, 1 second up at Canterbury over the 1250, and the other 2 runs this campaign it was awfully unlucky. It's was held up first up at Warwick Farm, then last time at Randwick, just as it was looming up to fight out the finish at the 200, it just got KO'd. So I think Shadow Lord, numerical form, should read a lot better than what it does this campaign, and particularly after the 3 kilo claim of Nick Haywood, I certainly think can win at a bit of odds, around about $8. And my value bet comes up in race 5. It's number 9, King's Officer, who comes out of 3 highway races, and I guess highway races into a benchmark 76, it's a bit problematical to try and line up that country form up against a proper restricted race, but really like the way it's found the line of its past 2 starts, particularly that third behind Shutterbug 2 starts ago, and then last time it looked like it was going to fight out the finish, but didn't get any room in the straight the last 150, and Brendan Avdala was quite soft on it to the line. Gets down in the weights after the 3 kilo climb of Jessica Taylor, and yeah, just needs pace on and will be finishing home strongly out wide.
Yeah, I certainly agree. I think he's a great chance in that race. I looked at that race and I thought, a couple at odds, Mr. Steele, King's Officer. And as you say, he's jumping from a highway handicap, but I don't think it's that strong a race. Colour of Money is going all right, but sort of went to Bong Bong to win 3 runs back. Music Man coming out of a highway handicap, and Electrifying's racing honestly, but
that's probably the one to beat, Electrifying, particularly if you're working off a soft 7, heavy 8. It's got the wet track form, it's around the mark, and probably the one to beat. I understand why you've gone for Mr. Steele, because it's just a very talented wet track horse.
Yeah, and third up and Trip, it wasn't beaten too far second up, and Sniper, probably the stable mate, I think he's got a bit of a chance too. So yeah, I'm all right into Canterbury this week. Might be having a few bets there, I think, and give a couple of the other meetings a miss, including Morfettville. I don't think I'll be taking a look there, but Carl, you certainly have had a look, and you might be having a play. What have you found for the listeners there on Saturday?
Well, I found Tidy Profit in the last race. If only it was the $26 that we'd quoted in the book, it would have been really nice. Our price assessor deserves a nice slap in the face for that one. But Tidy Profit was really good first up at 16-1. It got back to last. It travelled into it strongly before the home turn. Matthew Nilsson went for a run between horses. It just didn't eventuate. He had to check around their heels. It was well back in the field, still with 150 to go, and then just sprouted wings late. Almost would have won another 50 or 60 metres. It only got beaten a length. It was you could say a good thing beaten, I guess, first up over 1,200 metres, which is totally unsuitable for her, you'd think on paper. And then, well, she's staying over that distance range here, second up, and meets similar opposition, if not just a little bit weaker, dropping from a fillies and mares 80 to a 75. So I've got her on top at around about $9 as the best, and my value comes up in race 7, which is Keep Not a Day, trained by Darren Weir for Dean Yendall. This horse I thought ran quite well behind Sir Bible 2 starts ago at Mooney Valley. I guess that's good form now. And last time at Warrnambool, just had a nice run in behind them, but never got a clear crack at them in the straight, which was quite unfortunate for the apprentice, Kyle Maskill. Drawn wide, but should go across and find a position. I think the horse in Barrier 12 will also slide across. What horse is that in Barrier 12? All 8s. will also slide forward and hopefully give it a nice smother across. So keep another day as the value bet at Morpheville.
All right, over in the west on Saturday, we are at Ascot again. No black type racing, an 8-race card. I made my best bet King of the Palace, race 7, number 7. He's going pretty well. His last couple of runs over longer trips have been okay. I think coming back to 1200, blinkers on, Paul Harvey on, I think is a good recipe. And my value is Viking Forest, race 5, number 7. One start for a third at Belmont. The format of that race worked out okay. I know he takes on a few winners here, and he's only a maiden, but I think he'll run really well. First up, earlier in the day, across the Tasman in New Zealand, again, we raced at Awapuni and Ellerslie. They've combined on a few Saturdays of late. Awapuni this time has the black type feature. It is the listed Martin Cup, race 7. Conveniently enough, my value bet comes up in that race. It is Red King, number 12. He's been battling away quite well of late, carrying big weights. I know he's up in class, but he's always showed a bit of ability, and I think dropping down to 53 might really help him. My best on the card in a pretty competitive three-year-old race is Black Sav, number 8. I think she's a real New Zealand Oaks chance. She should be unbeaten. It was a really good run last start off an impressive debut. I think she can win this. And Ellerslie, Saturday, my best is in the two-year-old race, competitive two-year-old race, but I like Tessia. I don't mind the look of her. She won well on debut, tried to overcome an on-pace dominated race last start and just knocked up, trying to make a big run from the back, but barrier one on Saturday will help. And my value is Niala, race 2, number 11, ticking along nicely and won't be far off breaking through for a maiden win. Hopefully it is on Saturday. Well, that just about takes us out for this week's podcast. Don't forget to get out there and pick up your winning post. We've got full form for all your meetings from Friday through to Sunday, fields for the Monday meetings, and big coverage of Gold Coast five-star form for that big $10 million card. Carl, before we go, we better get a $20 bet.
Good point. I should be prepared and think of one. The New Boy, race 7, number 4 at Caulfield, each way 750. I think he'll run top 3 for sure.
All right, and I will go Canterbury, race 3, number 3, Shan Danner. I think we'll get our cash on Saturday. Hopefully we've found plenty of winners for you. Enjoy Magic Millions Day, and we will be back next week with the preview podcast.